Chapter 7 The 11th Book About the Mentality and the Senses. I, yesterday, Asclepius, I taught the words of maturity. And now I deem it necessary, in that connection, to speak in detail about sensory perception. It is thought that sensory perception and mental activity differ in the sense that the former is material and the latter spiritual. Two, I, however, hold that both are most closely connected and by no means different, at least, in human beings. Just as, in the other animals, sensory perception is bound to nature, so in human beings, the mentality too is bound to it. Three, the cognitive faculty is to mental activity as God is to divine nature. For the divine nature is brought forth by God, and mental activity by the cognitive faculty, which is related to the Word. Four, or better still, mental activity and the Word are each other's instruments, for the Word does not find utterance without mental activity, and mental activity is not manifested without the Word. Five, sensory perception and mental activity thus enter human beings together, intertwined as it were. For there is no mental activity without sensory perception, and no sensory perception without mental activity. 6. Nevertheless, it is possible to conceive a form of mental activity without direct sensory perception, like the images that present themselves in dreams. 7. I hold that both activities are set in motion by images making their appearance in dreams. 8. Perception takes place in both the physical and the astral bodies. As soon as the two components of perception have become one, thought, called forth in the mentality, is given voice by means of the consciousness. 9. The mentality brings forth all thought images. Good images when it has received the seeds from God, unholy images when they have originated from one of the demons. For there is no place in the world where there are no demons, that is, demons that lack the light of God. They penetrate into man and sow in him the seeds of their own activities. The mentality is then impregnated with adultery, murder, ungracious treatment of parents, sacrilegious acts, impious deeds, suicide by hanging or casting oneself down from a cliff, and a variety of other things which are the work of demons. 10. As far as the seeds of God are concerned, they are few in number but great and fair and good. They are called virtue, moderation, and piety. Piety is gnosis, the knowledge that is of and with God. He who has this knowledge is filled with all that is good and receives his thoughts, which differ entirely from those of the masses, from God. 11. Hence it is that those who walk in the gnosis are not pleasing to the masses, and on the other hand, the masses are not pleasing to them. They are considered foolish, they are the target of ridicule and mockery, and they are hated and despised, and sometimes even put to death, because, as I said before, evil must necessarily dwell here as it originated here. Thus, its domain is the earth, and not the world, as some blasphemously maintain. 12. But he who loves and is devoted to God will endure all things, because he participates in the gnosis. To such a person, all things work together for the good, even those things that are evil to others. And when ambushes are laid against him, he conveys everything as a sacrifice to the gnosis, and he alone transforms evil into the good. 13. I now return to my discussion of perception. It is characteristic of man to combine perception with mental activity. As I have mentioned before, however, not every human being has an intellect at his disposal, for there are two kinds of men, physical man and spiritual man. The physical man, connected with evil, receives, as I have said, the seed of his thoughts from the demons. The spiritual man is connected with the good and is kept by God in his grace. 14. God, the demiurge of the all, forms all his creatures in his own image, but they, though good in origin, deviated in the application of their active power. That is why the grinding, rotating movement of the earth brings forth generations with different qualities, befouling some with evil, purifying others with the good. For Asclepius, the world too has its perceptive faculty and its mental activity, not like those of men, nor so manifold, but more excellent, simpler, more truthful. 15. The world's perception and cognitive faculty, created to be instruments of the will of God, give form to all things and cause them to perish once more within themselves, so that whilst keeping within themselves all the seeds received from God, they bring forth everything that accords with their own task and vocation, and by disintegrating these things again, grant them renewal. Having made these things disintegrate, they grant them renewal like skillful gardeners of life, by causing them to be manifested in a different way. The 16. There is nothing that has not received life from the world. While it calls everything into existence, it fills it with life. It is both the dwelling place and the creator of life. 17. The bodies are composed of matter of various kinds, partly of earth, partly of water, partly of air, partly of fire. They are all composite, the one more, the other less. The more composite are heavier, the less composite lighter. 18. The rapidity of the form manifestation here causes the variegated assortment of the species, for the uninterrupted, active breath of the world continuously grants the bodies new faculties and the plenitude of life. 19. So God is the Father of the world, and the world is the creator of everything it contains. The world is the Son of God, and everything that is in the world was brought forth by the world. 20. Rightly is the world called cosmos, because it orders and adorns the all through the diversity of what is created, through the continuity of life, through the inexhaustibility of the power of manifestation, through the swiftness of fate, through the composition of the elements and the arrangement of everything that comes into being. Thus, the world is called cosmos, in view of its fundamental laws as well as its guidance. 21. Thus perception and intellect enter all living heiligs from without, as if on the breath of what surrounds them. But the world, when it came into being, received them once and for all from God. 22. God is not, as some suppose, devoid of perception and mind. Those who say so bring indignity upon God through misguided reverence, since all creatures, Asclepius, are in God. They have Rome into being through God and are dependent on Him. Whether they manifest themselves in physical bodies, rise as soul beings, have been vivified by the Spirit, or have been received into the realm of the dead, they are all in God. 23K is even more precise to say that He does not contain all creatures, but that in truth He is them all Himself. He does not attach them to Himself from without, but brings them forth out of His Ero 1V1 being and manifests them out of Himself. 24. This, men, is the perception and the thought activity of God, the continuous movement of the all, and there will never be a time when even the smallest part of what exists, that is, any part of God, will be lost. God contains everything within Himself, nothing is outside Him, and He exists in everything. 25. If you can fathom these things, Asclepius, you will discern that they are true. Should you not understand them, they will seem to you lacking in verity. To understand truly means to possess living faith, while want of faith means want of understanding. It is not, however, the mentality that reaches up to truth, but the soul that is connected to the Spirit, having the power to forge ahead to the truth after it has first been guided to this path by the mentality. When it then ponders upon the entire all with a gaze that is all-embracing, finding how everything accords with what the insight-laden mentality has explained, its faith is raised to knowledge and it finds tranquility in that fair knowledge of faith. 26. Those who understand from within the words I have proclaimed, which are from God, will be led by them to faith. For those who lack the living insight, they will be the cause of unbelief.